All right, we've been going over the differences between prophecy and mystery, the age of grace and the kingdom. And this morning we'll get into it, but we're going to look at the Great Commission versus the Grace Commission. But I first want to begin with what the nation of Israel was, what God the Father offered to the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel was offered this earthly kingdom. And throughout the Word of God, you can see time and time again that through it, that they rejected God the Father. And we're going to just jump into it. That way we've got a lot to cover this morning. But if you look with me to 1 Samuel. If you want to jump over to 1 Samuel chapter 8. You know, in Genesis, God has chosen the nation of Israel. They are God's chosen nation. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting with verse 5, he says, "And said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not on thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations." So the nation of Israel is saying, hey, we want a king just like everybody else. Peer pressure has set in. Make this happen. In verse 6, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." Samuel is feeling rejected at this time. But in verse 7, he says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." So again, during this earthly kingdom, Jesus Christ, God the Father, will be the king of the nation of Israel. So we can jump ahead. Everybody knows rejection of God the Son. At the crucifixion, and we're not going to read any passage of it, but everybody knows the crucifixion is rejection of God the Son, Jesus Christ. So that's strike two. And a lot of us get confused with rejection of God the Holy Spirit. A lot of people in Christendom today gets confused with what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And this is crucial to understand, because when you can begin to understand this, we can continue to move forward with right division of the Word of God. But let's first look at Matthew chapter 12. You can jump over there. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, it says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." And the whole debate out there today is, can we have an unpardonable sin? Is there an unforgivable sin today? And here in Matthew chapter 12, to me, says yes. What is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? But again, if we dive back to Matthew chapter 10, we know he's dealing with the nation of Israel. You can see in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He tells them to go to the lost sheep. You can see it in Matthew chapter 15. Same thing. Look at 15 verse 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He is dealing with the nation of Israel. Look at Luke chapter 12. We'll do Mark first. Look at Mark chapter 3. And then we'll jump to Luke. Mark chapter 3, verses 28. "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever thou shalt blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Again, if we don't rightly divide, we are going to be scared for our life. We're going to be scared for eternal salvation. We're going to be scared of all kinds of things. But we know he's dealing with the nation of Israel. Look over with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Luke 12, verse 10, it says, "Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven." So we've got rejection of God the Father. We got rejection of God the Son. And at this point, we have Jesus Christ telling the nation of Israel that if they reject God the Holy Spirit, that is the unforgivable sin. That is the one thing that you cannot do as the nation of Israel as a whole. The word blaspheme means to reject. Jump over with me to Acts chapter 7. And this is where we have the final straw. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." Again, they're talking to the Jewish leaders. Some versions of the Bible say, "You stubborn Jewish leaders." They are still dealing with the nation of Israel, even here in Acts chapter 7. He goes on in verse 52, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers or murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it?" This is Stephen scolding them, telling them, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised, you Jewish leaders, you're not listening to the Holy Ghost. And what do they do? 54, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Stephen is at the point that he is going to the Jewish leaders, saying, hey, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The nation of Israel is going to build this earthly kingdom. The 12 disciples will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. And they reject it again. And this is what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is talking about. When Jesus talks about the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit, this is the final rejection. And if you know anything about prophecy, and it says here in verse 56, "And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." The reason Jesus Christ is standing on the right hand of God, he is ready to bring judgment. He is ready to bring the tribulation. Yes, Jesus knew that the mystery was coming, but he had to fulfill prophecy. So even here in Acts chapter 7 and 8, we are still dealing with prophecy. If you don't know how to divide the Word of God, the biggest division is between prophecy and mystery. Everything the Apostle Paul says is a secret, hidden, revealed only to him. The 12, everything that was revealed to them was part of the prophecy. You can even see in Acts chapter 2, through the entire... A lot of people want to start the church or the body of Christ at Acts chapter 2. And if you ever read through Acts chapter 2, the only people there are Jewish people. The gospel is not even presented. It's presented from the kingdom program. Repent and be baptized. Peter never says, hey, this is a good thing that you crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells them they did it, and they should repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So we're still dealing with prophecy. And when we can begin to divide the Word of God, it helps us understand the differences. We can see that Israel... So in Acts chapter 7, what happens is Israel is now set aside. You can see in Romans... Look at Romans 11, 25. Romans 11, 20 says, "For I..." 25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." So again, Israel was blinded. God the Father had a plan from day one. Israel is blinded and set aside so the Gentiles could come in, so the Gentiles could be saved. Romans 10, verse 12. says, "For there is now no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Before, the Jews were a chosen nation. The body of Christ has no favorites, has no... You can see in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." And that was not true until the Apostle Paul was saved. That was not true. So let's dive into the Great Commission. Let's do a little comparison with the Great Commission. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 28. I just wanted you to be able to see how Jesus Christ was dealing with the nation of Israel, how they rejected God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And now, who is the Great Commission for? And what is our commission? We can look at Matthew chapter 28, verse, you can start with verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So he says, make disciples. Teach the nations to obey Jesus' commands. And some of these are not bad things. I'm not saying we can't apply it to our life. Yes, we should follow Jesus' commandments. But when we talk about the commission and what God is calling us to do, we've got to be very careful how we apply it. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. He says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Again, we learned a couple weeks ago that there's more than one gospel. This was the gospel for the nation of Israel. This is the gospel for the 12 disciples. He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." So we got one issue here. Now water baptism is for salvation. Here it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Again, this gospel is not for us. And that's where a lot of people get their verses. It says, hey, we need to water baptize. It's for a testimony. It's good for you. It helps you. Whatever they want to come up with. But they twist and extort this verse incorrectly. And normally they stop at verse 16. But if you go on to verse 17 and 18, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This was not for the 12 only. This was for all them that believe. If you are a believer with the nation of Israel at this time period, you could do all these things. We can't pick and choose what verses we deal with. The Great Commission says, cast out devils, speak with new tongues, pick up serpents. I don't know anybody that's picking up serpents. If they are, they're staying far away from me. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24, 46 and 47. "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Again, a lot of people take this verse and say, well, Jerusalem means hometown. We have an issue. The minute we start changing scripture, if we truly believe that Jesus Christ inspired the entire Word of God, we can't change words. The nation of Israel was supposed to start in Jerusalem, and then they were going to spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the entire nation of Israel rejected God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So at this point, he's going to set them aside. The Great Commission is no longer good. It will come back in after the rapture. After the mystery program is finished, then that comes back in. But the nation of Israel is supposed to start, the 12 were going to start in Jerusalem and spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. Look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Apostles had the authority to forgive or retain sins. The nation of Israel was able to. We can't do that any longer. That is not meant for us. That is not for us. Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive us of our sins. So we can see that the Great Commission, it says, make disciples. Teach the nations to obey Jesus' commands. Preach the gospel, but it was the gospel of the kingdom. All they had to believe was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They had to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. There was nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection. Even in Acts chapter 2, the only thing Peter tells them is to repent and be baptized. He does not talk about the death, burial, and resurrection. He scolds them for doing it, but Peter never understands what the death, burial, and resurrection really means. He tells them to be baptized with water. Sign gifts of believing in Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, all these things will follow. You can cast out demons. You can pick up snakes. You can speak in new tongues. All these things are going to occur. Jump over with me to Acts chapter 1. You should be a page from Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Again, the Holy Spirit would fall upon them. They would start in Jerusalem and work their way out. Even if we wanted to fulfill the Great Commission, it'd be impossible for us to. Look at Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 7, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." The disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. Yeah, there was a couple thousand that were saved in the nation of Israel. There's a couple verses that talk about thousands. But the nation of Israel is millions and millions of people. The nation of Israel as a whole never accepted Jesus Christ as God the Father. They don't even accept it today. They're still looking for God the Father to come back. The Great Commission is something that we cannot fulfill. The gospel was sent to the Jews first, but because they rejected it, it was released to the body of Christ. You can see that in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Jesus Christ came back for the nation of Israel. Yes, he had a plan. He knew that the nation of Israel would reject him. He knew what was going to happen. But literally, Jesus Christ came back for the nation of Israel. The gospel was sent to the Jews first, but because they rejected it, you can compare this statement to Acts 13:46 with what the Apostle Paul says. Acts 13:46 says, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you." It was first spoken to the Jews. It was first spoken to the nation of Israel. "But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." You rejected it. We offered it to you. Here it is. Here is the nation of Israel. Here is the earthly kingdom. The nation of Israel wants to have nothing to do with it. Then the Apostle Paul gets saved and brings in the body of Christ. The Great Commission is not for the church. The Great Commission is not for the body of Christ. You know, most people take it out of Matthew and use that because it's easier. But if you look at Mark and talk about casting out demons, picking up snakes, all that, none of us can do that. None of us has that power. None of us has that ability. They were supposed to start in Jerusalem and spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Great Commission is not for us. So what is our commission? What is our calling? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 14, he says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." This is our commission. This is what we are called to do. This is what we are to tell the world about, is the ministry of reconciliation. Like I said, you can take the Great Commission and say, hey, we're supposed to go out to all the world and evangelize. We can twist the Great Commission and make it say what we want it to say. But the Great Commission was for the nation of Israel. The ministry of reconciliation, which is God was in Christ, reconciling the world, in verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This is what we're supposed to tell the world. Jesus Christ already paid for your sins 2,000 years ago. He is not imputing that onto you. He is not punishing you for that. That has nothing to do with it. You either believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again the third day, and that your sins were on there 2,000 years ago, or you don't. Sins are no longer the issue. Sins are already paid for. Sins are taken care of. Jesus Christ died for all mankind. He goes on in verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." We are all ambassadors of Jesus Christ. If we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And if you understand what an ambassador of the United States is, you take pride in that. You take joy in that. You are telling the world who you are. The Apostle Paul says, "We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." He is begging us. He is begging people to come to the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the easiest gospel out there. Through each and every other gospel, yes, it was all done by faith and grace and mercy, but there was always an act involved. There was animal sacrifices, there was circumcision, there was do not do this, do not do this, follow the law, don't follow the law. Today it is put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of this passage right here. Jesus Christ has already reconciled the world to himself. It doesn't mean that all the world is saved, but Jesus Christ has done his part for everyone. It is up to us if we do our part or not. Paul's commission superseded the commission that Jesus gave to the 12. Look back with me to Galatians chapter 2. So again, here in Galatians chapter 2, it says, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took with me Titus also." If you look at chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. I'm sorry, start with verse 17. It says, neither went I up to Jerusalem. So after the Apostle Paul is saved, he does not go to the 12 and say, hey, I agree with you, I believe you. What is the message that we're telling everyone? No, he was blinded and he did exactly what Jesus Christ told him to do. In verse 17, we'll start with 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So he did not go talk to anyone except Jesus Christ. Neither when I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. So again, now he goes, after 3 years of learning his message, learning that the death, burial, and resurrection is for salvation now, learning about the rapture, learning about the body of Christ, learning about the mystery, learning that we have spiritual blessings and not earthly blessings. There is two programs throughout the Word of God. And in Genesis 1:1, he says, I created the heavens, I created the earth. He has a plan for the heavenly, he has a plan for the earth. He will use both of them. So then he sits down with Peter and the 12 and says, hey, what is going on? You can see 7 through 9, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we go unto the heathen, Gentiles, the body of Christ, and they unto the circumcision. The pillars, he says, the pillars, James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, finally said, we agree with you, Paul. I don't think they ever agreed on doctrine, but they realized that the Apostle Paul, first of all, was not going to give up. Because of what Jesus Christ revealed to him, they knew they didn't have a chance. They said, you go your way, we'll go our way, and we'll leave each other alone. It demonstrates, this passage demonstrates that the apostles recognize that there's a new direction. It's a totally different message than what the 12 were getting. Start in Jerusalem and spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. Repent and be baptized. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No, now the Apostle Paul saying is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. You want to look at Romans 11 or 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Again, this is a mystery that was kept secret until revealed to the Apostle Paul. Because he says in the next verse, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now it's to all nations. It's to everyone. Before it was for the nation of Israel. If you go home and read Acts chapter 2, or Acts chapter 5, you can see that if you wanted to be saved during the kingdom program, you had to become a Jew. You had to become a part of the nation of Israel. You had to follow the law. You had to repent and be baptized. You had to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The 12 and the nation of Israel never dealt with the Gentiles. We were dogs to them. You got to begin to see the comparison. Just some of the differences that you may have not in the Great Commission or the Grace Commission. To me, in the Great Commission, grace is not mentioned. In the dispensation of the age of grace, grace is revealed. You can see in Romans 6:14, it says, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. The nation of Israel was under the law. They were under the Mosaic law. Something else, the cross today is as good news. For the 12, it was never good news. The resurrection, nothing is said about the significance of Christ's resurrection as the basis of the proof of his victory over sin, or it being for our justification. Yes, Peter talked about it in Acts chapter 2, but it had nothing to do with the power of the resurrection. He scolded them for it. Read that passage again with that mindset and see what you think. Before, there was a difference in Jew and Gentile. Today, that middle wall is broken down. There's verses that talk about that wall being broken down, partition taken apart. I read some verses that say Jew and Gentile are now one. Before, we were not. And then the body of Christ. Nothing is said of the church as Christ's body, or that the doctrine that we are baptized into Christ and we become members of his body. The baptism that's talking about in the Great Commission is water baptism, and it is required for salvation. But today that is no longer necessary because of the body of Christ, because of the Apostle Paul's message, because of what Jesus Christ had planned. The nation of Israel was set aside in Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 8. And then immediately, which they laid its clothes, their clothes down at Saul's feet at the stoning of Stephen, Saul is then saved to bring in the mystery, the age of grace. Let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that when we begin to rightly divide, we can piece this together. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "To study to show thyself approved." It is our job to get into the Word. It is our job to understand Scripture. It is our job to be Bereans. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we can see that the nation of Israel was set aside. But now you've raised up the Apostle Paul to reveal this message, to reveal the mystery, to reveal the ministry of reconciliation. We just thank you that you have already completed everything, that you went to the cross, and that you reconciled the entire world to yourself. Doesn't mean that not everyone is saved, but does mean that you reconciled, that you paid for all sins, that you've taken care of all sins. It is our job to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We just thank you, and we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Let's say it together.